The Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee. This is Rudy Vallee. Our variety cast this evening is headed by a distinguished actor of star ranking on both stage and screen, Mr. Burt Lytell. We shall bring you tonight a radio version of Mr. Lytell's celebrated one-act melodrama, The Valiant. The comedy assignment tonight goes to two very well-known laugh teams from the variety houses, Jans and Whalen and Brennan and Rogers. Another important stage and movie name, Lita Gray Chaplin. Mrs. Chaplin with a supporting chorus will be heard in a movie musical setting called Subway Blues. Completing the cast, Miss Pauline Alpert, jazz pianist, a protege of George Gershwin. Tonight by the presence in our studio audience of Governor Lewis H. Brand, the state of Maine. With a group of friends and members of his staff, Governor Brand is in town for a few hours on his way to the inaugural. Signs to dear old Maine shall till the rafters ring. Stand and drink a toast once again. Let every loyal Maine man sing. Then drink to all the happy hours. Drink to the careless days. Drink to Maine, our alma mater, the college of our hearts always. To the trees, to the skies, to the spring and its glorious happiness, to the youth, to the fire, to the light that is moving and calling us, to the gods, to the fates, to the rulers of men and their destinies, to the lips, to the eyes, to the girls who will love us someday. Jans and Whalen, comedy headliners. I first saw these boys in a review in New Haven called Texas Guinan's Padlocks of 1927. The show was pretty bad, but Jans and Whalen were great. When I heard they were in town this week, I decided you should hear them. In this corner, Harry Jans, and over there, Harold Whalen.
I'm glad to see
My
you.
My goodness, I'm glad to see you.
How do you feel?
We're going to have milk in a minute, I can see.
Hiya, Harold.
Hi, to tell you the truth, never felt better in my life.
My goodness, I'm glad to see you.
I'm sure glad to see you.
You look fine.
Fine. I'm glad to see you look very good yourself.
I feel good.
You should feel good. You look great.
Harold, you look good.
I look fine.
You look fine.
Yes, sir.
And how are you feeling?
I feel fine.
I say you look good.
I have no complaints.
Sure, been away a long while.
I should say about 5 years.
Is that so?
Think I've changed?
Well, Harold, I think you're a little taller.
Put on some weight.
Oh, you look great.
I look very good.
You look fine.
Yes, sir.
And how are you feeling? Now, wait.
Now, listen.
I didn't mean that.
Should you stand there and humiliate
no,
me?
No, I'm not humiliating.
I'm a regular fellow.
Been away all these years.
That's right.
I'm your pal.
I'm your pal.
Born and raised together.
That's right.
I want to see you get ahead.
I know it.
You need one.
I need
no.
Now, that's unfair.
I didn't mean that.
Don't say it now.
How's all the folks?
All my folks are swell.
Good. How's your mother?
Mother's fine. How's your mother?
Fine. How's yours?
No. I said she's fine.
Fine. That's
right.
And how's Uncle Ed?
Who?
Uncle Ed, you know, the fellow with the good elbow.
Oh, wasn't he a swell fellow?
What do you mean, wasn't he?
My Uncle Ed died 6 months ago.
Is that so?
Poor Uncle Ed passed away.
My goodness, I'm glad to hear it. How's he feeling?
No. Didn't I tell you he died?
He's dead.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said he passed away.
That's the same thing.
Yes.
Sure. You know that.
Sure. And how's little Emma?
Who?
Little Emma, my favorite.
My sister.
Yeah, little Emma.
Little?
Yeah.
Why, Harry, she's as big as you are.
No.
Emma's married 4 weeks.
Is that so?
She married a motorman.
Pardon?
I say she married a motorman.
Oh, more power to her.
Yeah.
No!
No, you shouldn't say
no,
that.
No, been away all these years,
that's
Al.
Right.
Did you get married? You been away? Did you get married?
I'm not married.
Not married.
No.
How's the wife?
No. Harry, I said I'm not married. I have no wife.
Well,
certainly.
That's tough on the children.
Yeah. No! Now, you shouldn't say now, listen. Please leave me alone.
Yes, cut out all the kids.
I feel bad enough.
Harold, you look a little sad. I'm impressed.
Yes. Oh, I should look sad.
Are you really sad?
What I've gone through.
What you gone through?
I can tell you, you're my pal.
Love to.
Harry, in the first place, you knew that I had been a happily married man for 10 years.
Sure I did.
Right?
Sure.
You knew that I had a beautiful wife.
Did I love your wife?
I did.
No! Now, go on. I didn't mean that.
But, Harry, why bother explaining that?
Yes.
You can believe one thing.
What?
I have plenty of psoras.
What?
Have I psoras?
Oh.
What is that? Psoras. You know what means trouble?
Oh,
yes. I'll explain it to
yes,
you.
Yes, I'll hold the baby. Let me hear that.
Yes. Look, psoras. Trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble, sores.
Don't go fast.
Sores.
Oh! It's not simple. For goodness sake, we had trouble with our sores. I didn't know what
no.
to
do. No! I explained the whole... Harry, listen, wait. What is this?
Never mind. I'm going to sing a song. I want to sing a song.
Oh, you're a musician.
Musician, sure.
Sing something for me.
Yeah, well, what do you like?
Something popular.
Something popular.
Go ahead.
Something new, huh?
Something new, yeah.
Oh, life is just a cherubole.
No, a bowl of cherries.
Oh, yes, I forgot the bowl.
I'm
yes.
quite a musician myself.
No.
Sure.
You play?
Well, I should say I do.
No.
I play several instruments.
That's so.
Well, what do you play?
I mean, what do you know that I can play? I mean,
do you know any operettas?
Well, I mean, what songs? I mean, popular songs.
Hummer Skew?
Huh?
You know that? Hummer Skew? Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm a who?
Hummer Skew.
Hummer Skew.
You know that. You know that?
No, let me hum that for me. I'd
surely.
Like...
Yum, sit-um, sit-um, sit-um. Hummer Skew! That's it.
Hummer Skew.
Isn't that funny?
I love that. Not Hummer Skew.
What is it?
You Mersquick.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sake. I didn't know that.
Exactly.
Harry, listen. Do you know any operettas?
What?
Operettas?
Operettas?
I love them.
I know some, not all, you know.
Not all?
Well, I mean a few.
A few?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, operettas?
Yes.
What?
Telephone operetta.
No. I'm speaking of music.
Oh, music.
But Harry, all kidding aside,
yes.
I'd like to ask you a personal question.
Love to have you.
I need some help.
Help.
I need some advice, and I think you can help me.
Love to do it.
Well, here's the story.
What is it, Harry?
I happened to meet a very charming lady the other afternoon.
Yeah.
So I asked her to have tea with me.
Pardon?
I asked her to have tea with me.
Tea.
Tea.
Few songs as provocative of response from audiences as this one, Echo in the Valley. It seems wherever it is played, it is a signal for those in the audience, those musically inclined, to yoo-hoo and whistle on the parts of the chorus where the echo is supposed to speak, thus making it a great so-called gang song. Bells are ringing, mellow and clear. I feel so lonely, neath stars above, listening to one thing I love. just an echo of you in the valley, you. But it brings back sweet memories of you. Can't you hear it, you? Through the twilight, you. When it answered, I love you, I do. How I wish we were here, just like we used to be. For since you have gone, there's nothing left for me. Just an echo of you in the valley, you. But it brings back sweet memories of you. Now, Bert Lytell, stage and screen star in a condensed radio version of a one-act melodrama he has made famous on the variety stage. The Valiant, by Holworthy Hall and Robert Middlemiss. With Mr. Lytell will be heard, Mr. Middlemiss, co-author of the playlist, George Gall and Elizabeth Love. The scene is the office of the warden in the state prison at Weathersford, Connecticut. James Dyke, played by Mr. Lytell, is condemned to death by hanging for murder. The time of execution is minutes away. As the curtain rises, the warden, played by Mr. Middlemiss, is seated at his desk. At the left is a door leading to his outer office.
Has it started to rain, Father?
Yes, it has.
It would rain tonight.
He hasn't much longer to wait, poor boy.
No, thank God. He still won't give you any hint about who he really is?
No, not the slightest. He doesn't intend to, either.
He's trying to shield somebody. Trying to keep his family and his friends, wherever they are, from knowing what's happened to him. What time is it?
Half past 11.
I guess I'm getting too old for this sort of thing. A hanging party didn't used to bother me so much. The devil of it is, I'm fond of this boy.
So am I. Are you going to talk with him again yourself?
Father, I believe I'm going to do something tonight that's never been done before in this prison. Instead of our going to see him, I'm going to have that boy brought into this office and let him sit here with you and me until the time comes for us all to walk through that door to the execution room.
Well, what on earth is your idea in doing a thing like that?
Because maybe if he sits here a while with just you and me and we go at him right, he'll loosen up and tell us about himself. Besides, there's a girl coming to see him. Has a permit from the governor. She thinks she may be... I'll have Dan bring him in now. Hello. Chief Keeper, please. Hello. Hello, Dan. Dan, I want you to get Dyke and bring him here. Yes, I said bring him here. Now listen. Bring him in from the cell block and then you go back to the execution room. When everything and everybody is ready, you ring the alarm buzzer on my desk. The buzzer. Get me? Better give it a push now. We'll be sure it's in order. It's okay. That'll be the signal for us to start. Understand? All right. Bring Dyke in.
What about the witnesses and the reporters?
They're having their sandwiches and their coffee now. Let them wait. Reporters. Witnesses.
Shh. Here's Dyke.
Hello, Dyke. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Dyke, as man to man, and this is your last chance, who are you?
Who am I? James Dyke, a murderer.
Now, that isn't your real name, and we know it. You see this pile of letters?
Yes, sir. Well...
Do you know what 4,000 different people are writing to me about?
No, sir.
Who are you? And are you the missing son, or brother, or husband, or sweetheart?
My boy, the warden is absolutely right. Now, you owe something to these people for the sake of all those thousands of poor, distressed women who imagine God knows what. I beg of you to tell us who you are.
Father, I simply can't do it.
Don't you want to make some sort of statement?
No, sir, I don't think I do. I think I said about everything. I killed a man, and I'm not sorry. That is, I'm not sorry I killed that particular person. Father, that man deserved to be killed. He wasn't fit to live. I killed him because it was my duty, and that's all this to that.
Yes? All right, send her up. It's the girl, Father. Psych, a young woman has just come to see you. She thinks maybe she's your sister, and she's come 1,000 miles to find out.
Why, she's wrong. I haven't any sister.
Father, will you take Dyke into the deputy's room? I want to speak to the young lady first.
Come, my boy.
I'll call you in just a couple of minutes.
Well, I promise we won't run away.
Wilson, bring the girl in. Good evening, miss. Will you sit down?
Well, thank you very much.
You want to see Dyke, do you? You think he may be your brother?
Yes, sir.
How long is it since you've seen your brother?
It's 8 years.
As long as that? And how old are you?
I'm almost 18.
Almost 18. And are you sure after all this time you'd recognize your brother if you saw him?
Well, of course I think so. But maybe I couldn't. You see, I was just a little girl when he ran away.
Well, how do you think you're going to tell? Suppose he don't want to be recognized by you or anybody else.
I thought of that. I'm just going to talk to him and ask him a few questions about things that he and I used to do together. I'll watch his face. And if he's my brother, I'm sure I'll know.
What did you and your brother ever used to do that could help you out now?
He used to play games with me when I was a little girl and tell me stories. That's what I'm counting on mostly, the stories.
I'm afraid that...
Especially Shakespeare stories.
Shakespeare?
Why, yes. He used to get the plots of the plays, all the Shakespeare plays. And then he'd tell me the stories in his own words. It was wonderful.
I'm certainly afraid he...
But best of all, he learned some of the speeches from the plays themselves. He liked to do it. He was sure he was going to be an actor or something. He was in all the high school plays, always. And then he'd teach some of the speeches to me, and we'd say them to each other. And one thing, every night he'd sit on the edge of my bed. When I got sleepy, there were 2 speeches he'd always say to me. You know, like good night. 2 speeches out of Romeo and Juliet. And then I'd go to sleep. If he knows those lines, I'll know he's my brother.
This boy never heard of Shakespeare, much less learn him. Oh, I'll let you see him for yourself. Only you might as well be prepared. Wilson, tell Dyke and Father Daly to come in here. They're in the deputy's room.
Yes, sir.
Of course, it's going to be awful for us if this is Joe. But even that would be better for Mother than just to stay awake nights and wonder, never know what really became of him.
Here he is now. Dyke, this is the young lady that's come so far to see you.
Come, Father. We'll leave them alone.
Mother sent me to see you.
Yeah?
You see, we haven't heard it. Seen my brother Joe for ever so long. And Mother thought, well, after what we read in the papers, that...
That I might be your brother Joe.
Yes, that's it.
Well, you can easily see that I'm not your brother, can't you?
I'm not sure. You look a little bit like him. Just like the picture in the paper did. But then again, it's so long, and I thought of Joe so differently.
As a matter of fact, I couldn't be your brother nor anybody else's. Because I never had a sister. So that rather settles it.
Honestly?
Honestly? You don't think I'd lie at this stage of the game, do you?
No. I don't believe you would. Did you ever want to be an actor? Or were you ever?
No, never.
Do you know any poetry?
Poetry?
Yes. Thou knowest the mask of night is on my face. Else would a maiden flush bepaint my cheek for that which... Don't you know that?
No, I don't. Tell you the truth, it sounds kind of silly to me. Doesn't it to you?
Oh, no. Good night. Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow. What comes next?
I don't know.
You're not Joe, are you? Well, I had to come and find out, though. I hope I've not made you too unhappy.
Oh, you're not going to go yet, are you?
Yes, I promised the warden that I'd go right away if you weren't my brother. And you're not.
You're going to go right back to your mother?
Yes.
I'm surprised she sent a girl like you on this errand instead of her coming herself.
She's very sick.
Oh, that's too bad.
She's not well at all. And most of it's just from worrying about Joe.
When you tell her that her boy isn't a criminal, that'll comfort her a whole lot, won't it?
Yes, I think it will, only...
Only what?
Well, I don't think Mother'll ever be really well again. So she finds out for certain where Joe is and puts the cum of it.
Mothers oughtn't to be treated like that. Oh, how I wish I treated mine better. Hey, by the way, you didn't tell me what your name is.
Josephine Paris.
Paris? That's an unusual sort of a name. You know, I've heard that name somewhere, too. And your brother's name is Joseph.
Yes. They used to call us Joe and Joseph. That's funny, isn't it?
I don't think that's funny. I rather like that.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I was just trying to think. What was that fella's name? Now, don't you tell me. I'll get it in just a minute. Now, what? I've got it. Joseph Anthony Paris.
What? That's his name. That's my brother's name. How'd you
know? Now, wait just a minute. I've only got a little while to tell you this. And don't interrupt me. I want you to get this straight and repeat every word of it to your mother. During the war, I enlisted with the Canadians and went overseas. Well, one day we staged a big trench raid, and we were coming back when I noticed one of our officers was wounded and he was lying out in a shell hole. Well, the Heinies were getting ready for a little fun of their own, so they dropped down a barrage. When suddenly, from our trench, I saw a young fellow go out to where that officer was. He didn't have a chance in a million of getting out there, and he knew it. He reached the officer, got him in his arms, and started back when a 5.9 came along and landed right on top of the two of them. Well, afterwards, we got the identification tag, and that was the fellow's name. Joseph Anthony Paris.
Oh.
And if that's your brother's name, you tell your mother he died years ago, like a brave man and a soldier in France.
Joe, my brother, Joe, dead. And you were there, and you saw...
I saw it. Now, that's going to make your mother mighty happy, won't it? When she knows that her boy died like a soldier, and not like a criminal.
Yes, it will.
And does it make you happy, too?
Yes, it's so very happy. After all, we were both so afraid of... Well, I can't even cry yet. I'm so sorry for you. So truly sorry. I just wish I could do something to make you a tiny bit happier, too. Is there anything I can do?
Yes, there is, only I...
What is it?
I shouldn't even let myself think about anything
like
that.
Please tell me. I want you to. For Joe's sake, tell me what I can do.
In all the time I've been in this hideous place, you're the first girl I've seen. I've been pretty lonely here, of course, and tonight especially. And you see, I haven't any sister or anybody of my own to say goodbye to me. And if you think you could do it, you know, for Joe's sake, if you could just kiss me goodbye. God bless you, dear.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Why, what is it? What's the matter?
It's nothing.
Nothing?
Well, I was just thinking that what I used to say to my brother for good night, if I only could just one time told him goodbye.
And what was that?
I told it to you once, and you said it was silly.
Oh, please. Say it again.
Good night. Good night. Parting is such a sweet thought that I shall say good night till it be morning. Goodbye.
Sleep dwell upon thine eyes. Peace in thy breast. Would I were sleep in peace, so sweet to rest. Of all the wonders I've yet heard, seems to me most strange that men should fear, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it'll come.
Come, Dyke.
Cowards die many times before their death. The valiant never taste of death but once. Oh, the valiant never taste of death but once.
sight. It's time now. Time to go.
My son.
All right. Let's go. Father, you walk alongside me.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills.
The valiant never taste of death but once.
From whence cometh my help?
The valiant never taste of death but once.
My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth.
The valiant never taste of death but once.
There's a girl in Havana who is quite a sensation, a new revelation. She lives in Havana. Oh, yes. Now there's nobody sweeter. She's the talk of the town there, and everyone down there is dying to meet her. She's a sweet senorita. Oh, yes. Tony's wife. The boys in Havana love Tony's wife. Around the cabana of Tony's wife, they sing in a manner that's rare. Tony's wife. The fellas are fools about Tony's wife. They're fighting their duels about Tony's wife. But Tony's too lazy to care. When she plays on her guitar, how they come from near and far. Oh, my, oh, me. She gives them a shaking up, you should see. The homes that are breaking up, gosh, oh, gee. A man would surrender his life for Tony's wife. This one is Remember Me. Otherwise, speak tenderly beneath the moon some night in June, remember me. New loves may come and go, older loves remain. Someone may whisper low, love will refrain. But if you care, no matter where you chance to be, when you're away, my heart will say, remember me.
You are listening to Fleischman's Yeast Hour under the direction of Rudy Valley, who presents Jansen Whalen, Bert Littell, Robert Middlemiss, Elizabeth Love, George Gall, Pauline Alpert, Brennan and Rogers, Lita Great Chaplin and Company.
We present Lita Great Chaplin and Company in a dramatic musical picture called Subway Blues. The song lyrics by Murray Trivers and Oakman, the arrangement by Elliot Jacoby, are in a mood familiar to all New Yorkers. To our listeners in happier cities, where subways exist only in the movies, the number may give some idea of what it means to ride to work through an island of rock. Lita Gray Chaplin in Subway Blues.
I go to my lonely room, but the things I thought I left behind, the subway and its grind, are pounding in my mind. Still I know that not so far away, somewhere flowers are in bloom, somewhere birds are singing in a tree, skies are wide and free. But they're not. I have to watch the tides of people milling, moving underground. Like waves against a stony shore, they surge and beat and pound, deafening and drowning me in an ocean full of sound. I've got those go down, way down, uptown and downtown, slow down, subway blues.
Those subway blues, those red and green light blues, those grab a strap and hang tight. Subway blues.
I've got those hay there, stay there, watch your step, Times Square, let them off there. Subway blues. The push and jam, the crush and slam throughout the weary ride. An empty seat, the rush of feet, rough elbows in my side. I've got those go down, way down, uptown and downtown, slow down, subway blues.
Come and see, go dancing people meet on the avenue and take it to all the second street. Hear the beat, go dancing people meet.
The subway is running through my brain. The ring of steel, the whine of a wheel, the rumble and roar of the thundering train. Bells are ringing, doors are banging, hands are clinging, gongs are clanging. I can't shut out the beat of the feet from the street as they tear down the stair at Times Square. Rich man, poor man,
wise man and yokel, jamming and slamming to change for the local. Ladies with bundles, girls in short dresses, hurry and flurry to make the express. The schoolgirl with head buried deep in a book, the phony, the fake, the man on the make, the cheat who insults every girl with a look, the con man, the wise guy, the big shot, the smarty. The drunk who comes staggering home from a party, while some take it easy, some struggle and strive, some living, some laughing, some hardly alive. I've got to go down, way down, uptown and downtown, low down, away. I'm tired of the boy who shoves to the train, day after day with a different refrain. Here you are, morning papers, Park Avenue girl and Broadway capers. Flyers land on native soil, mobsters use Von girl as foil. Roosevelt in a thousand cheer, Albany acts to legalize beer. Hollywood stars seeking divorce, Crystal Wales falls off his horse. Gang leaders shot, police have no clues. Here you are, Mirror, American News. Forget the face of that girl who stood where the tracks are crossed, and the searching look in her eyes, as if there was something or someone she'd lost. She looked about and then found him and said just one word. Jim! Gee, you're late.
Well, you didn't have to wait.
But I don't understand.
Oh, cut out acting grand.
But I mean...
Say, don't be green. There's only one thing I gotta say to you. I'm through. Oh, now, don't start to cry. Goodbye.
Jim! I've got to go down, way down, uptown and downtown, low down,
of unrequited love songs, all of them with the exception of How Deep Is the Ocean, Extremely Unhappy, lead to this one, his newest, Maybe I Love You Too Much. Something has gone, I know it, I feel it, we're not getting on. I seem to please you less the harder I try. Something has happened, what can it be? I know it, I feel it, you're tired of me. I love you much too much, and maybe that's why. Maybe it's because I love you much. Maybe that is why you love me so little. Maybe when I answered yes, maybe I became a bore. Maybe if I loved you less, maybe you would love me more. Maybe it's because I've kissed you too much. why my kiss means so little. Maybe with a love so great and a love so small, maybe I'll be left with no love at all. Pauline Alpert, in my opinion, the most accomplished of women pianists, interesting modern jazz composition. George Gershwin, always overwhelmed with requests to play wherever he goes, frequently takes Pauline to parties to substitute for him at the piano. She plays for us her own arrangement of Here Lies Love. A chum of mine, Ali Rubel, sets the country's latest fad to music, My Picture Puzzle of You. doing them now. I've worked out most everyone. I've had fun, oh gee. But there is still a certain one that would appeal to me. With a picture puzzle of you, I'd be happy the whole day through. I would sit around and figure till I figured every jigger of my picture puzzle of you. And you picture just what I do when I pick up your eyes of blue. I'd be taken by the splendor, but at whisper I surrender to my picture puzzle of you. Your lips and your hair and your hair and your ears and your ears and your little pug nose. I put them all together and I'd worship you from head to toes. Then there's one more thing I would do when my puzzle of you was through. I'd tell my nephews and my nieces not to fool around the pieces of my picture puzzle of you. I'd put them all together and I'd worship you from head to toes. There's one more thing I would do when my puzzle of you was through. I'd tell my nephews and my nieces not to fool around the pieces of my picture puzzle of you. Gloaming, a song written by two writers who were unquestionably influenced by a blend of two old standbys, Song of India and Cheery Beery Bee. Smile at care through the hours of the daytime. What matters if they are weary and long? For there's an hour at the end of the daytime meant for the music of love's sweet song. Meet me in the gloaming when the day is through. Let me share my love's dreams with you. Meet me in the shadows under painted skies while the light of love fills your eyes. Let us greet the moonlight with its magic charm. Let me be in heaven, lost in your arms. Meet me in the gloaming, and before we part, tell me that you love me, sweetheart. Brennan and Rogers. Vaudeville fans will remember that it used to be Savoy and Brennan. After Bert Savoy's tragic death some years ago, Mr. Brennan continued their famous comedy act with a new partner. Stanley Rogers now wears the red wig and spangled gown of Margie's girlfriend, while Jay Brennan still displays that polite curiosity concerning Margie's scandalous goings-on. We present Brennan and Rogers.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm dragging my body to the hospital. Don't touch me.
Well, what's the matter with you? You look like a cyclone hit you.
Oh, I was walking through Central Park, and I bent over to pick up a horseshoe.
And what happened?
There was a horse standing in it.
Did the horse kick you?
Oh, she hammered me.
No, she really kicked you. Did she have iron shoes on?
She didn't have on satin slippers.
Well, tell me, was there anybody riding the horse?
Oh, yes, it was a man riding. He was red.
Why didn't you get his name?
I couldn't. He ran away.
Well, you should have taken his horse.
Who?
You.
I ain't got room enough in my apartment for a canary. Must have the horse.
Well, listen, tell me, how's your girlfriend, Margie?
Oh, Margie's grand, you must come over.
Oh, I will. Listen, tell me, are you girls still up on Riverside Drive?
Oh, we're very still.
Mm-hmm.
We won't even go near the windows.
Say, what's the name of that building you're living in? I've forgotten it.
The name of it?
Yes.
The Never Rain.
Oh, the Never Rain. Well, do they overlook the river?
No, but they overlook everything else.
No, can you see the river from your apartment?
Oh, sure you can see it if you're standing on a chair.
Well, listen, you girls have been up there quite a long while, haven't you?
Oh, we've been up there a long time,
too
long.
Yes, I
know. We're going to move.
What's the matter? Did the depression get you?
Oh, no, that's like on account of rats.
In the apartment?
Oh, we got rats as big as goats.
Oh, Beulah,
don't... Oh, they slay you.
Oh, they won't slay me. I won't go there. Well, what do you do for them, Beulah?
Well, I'm dying to tell you what happened.
Hurry up, let me hear
you. Well, the other day, Marge and I was at the drugstore to get some rat poison.
Yes.
And the clerk said to Marge, he said, do you want to take it with you?
Yes.
You're going to knock me over with tape mill.
Go on, listen. The clerk said, do you want to take it with you? And what did
Marge said, no, we'll send the rats in after it.
Oh, what a life you girls live.
Oh, and so much of it.
Oh, dear. Say, I saw you two girls on 43rd Street up there near Stearns last
week. Oh, yes, it was Benzie.
Who was the big fat girl with you?
The great big one.
Yes.
That was Margaret's sister, Keeney.
My, but she's big.
And ain't she big?
Oh.
Oh, she had numbers on her. She looked like a boxcar.
Well, what were you girls doing out shopping or just running around the streets?
Oh, no, we just caught from the photographer.
Who had the picture taken?
Why, Tina did.
Now, don't, Mrs. Hemming.
Oh, Iris should have been in there with her.
She went to have her picture taken with
all... Yes, but I'll tell you what happened.
Let me see.
You know, the photographer said to Tina, he said, do you want a bus picture?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I know her.
Come on. Yeah, you asked her if she wanted a bus picture.
What? She said yes, but I want my face in it, too. Oh, she slayed me.
Oh, I don't wonder. Well, did he make some good pictures of her?
Oh, he had a terrible time with her.
What happened to her?
Why, he had to make a panorama to get all her chins in.
Oh, dear. Well, what did she look like up there?
Oh, she was a mess.
Why should she have her pictures taken? She's going,
oh,
ugly.
No. She thinks she looks like Marlene Dietrich.
She's crazy.
And she's got papers to prove it.
Marlene Dietrich, well.
I know she was dying to have her pictures made in hand.
Oh, what are the women thinking about today wearing
this? Oh, she took a man's suit right in there with her.
To be photographed?
Yes.
And what happened?
Well, obviously.
Come on.
I'll never forget when she came out of the dressing room.
What happened?
She was all bent over.
She was all bent over?
Oh, I felt sorry for her. We couldn't straighten her up.
And she was all bent over?
Way over.
Well, what was the matter with her? Did she have rheumatism?
No, she had her pants buttoned to her belt.
I was sitting on a figure till I figured every jigger of my picture puzzle of you. Can't you picture just what I do when I pick up your eyes of blue? I'd be taken by the splendor, and I'd whisper I surrender to my picture puzzle of you. Your lips and your hair and your hair and your ears and your ears and your little pug nose, I'd put them all together, and I'd worship you from head to toe. Then there's one more thing I would do when my puzzle of you was true. I'd tell my nephews and my nieces not to fool around the pieces of my picture puzzle of you. Puzzle of you, I'd be happy the whole day through.
I would sit around and figure till I figured every jigger of my picture puzzle of you. Can't you picture just what I'd do when I picked up your eyes of blue? I'd be taken by the splendor, but I'd whisper I surrender to my picture puzzle of you. Beginning the latter half of next week, a stage version of our Fleischman Variety Hour will be offered at the Paramount Theater in New York with a cast largely drawn from our previous broadcast. Reports indicate that thousands of new listeners each week are being added to the audience of the Fleischman G-Star Variety Program. You'll find it worthwhile, I think, to join the crowd. See you Friday night at the Wardman Park, Saturday night at the inaugural ball. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.